Welcome to the Hunterwick Slow Burn Podcast. Today, Bill and Chad talk about the cinematic dumpster fires that Hollywood is threatening to foist upon us with movie remakes, explore the promised sci-fi future that still hasn't arrived, and visit with a YouTuber who thinks he's found an amazing prediction Seth MacFarlane made about Star Wars. Spoiler, he hasn't. So buckle up your personal jetpack and get ready to take off. Oh, wait, you can't because they haven't made them yet. Hey, Chad, how's it going?
It's going okay.
We're talking about remakes and reboots of movies, I guess. Did you have any TV shows on your list?
So, you know, they've been making remakes for ages. They've been converting British shows into American shows. Three's Company.
Too Close for Comfort, I think, was that Ted Knight show. That's was right. Another one. That's was right. Taken from British shows.
The Office.
Right. Most famously, probably The Office.
And there was a series on TMN or HBO, Showtime, one of those, starring Matt LeBlanc, called Episodes.
Oh, right.
The premise of Episodes was about two British writers, a husband and wife team who come from Britain, who are brought over from Britain because they had a hit show there, and an American production company wanted to make an American version of it. And right. Their original show took place in a private school, and it was, you know, like, I guess probably like an EastEnders kind of, you know,
show. Right.
Yep. Soap opera-ish. And it got turned into a comedy about a hockey team, you know, with Matt LeBlanc as the coach. And so,
like, they're just probably, they're looking on in dread, these British people, like, as they get bastardized their work.
But I feel that today we're living at a time where that's all they want to do.
Right.
There's nothing new. You can't invent something new. Every once in a while, something is a little new, like Game of Thrones was. And people just, you know, it's the church of Game of Thrones now.
Right.
Because it was like, oh my God, a new idea in the 21st century.
Right. Well, the thing is, TV shows are probably the same way, but when it comes to films right now, it's super expensive to make a film. And so nobody, from the production companies to the studios, really want to spend that kind of money on something that's not a proven quantity, right?
So I was looking through a list of some of the things that are being remade. And
let's hear the travesty of remakes that's going to be happening.
So, American Werewolf in London.
Take your life, David. Kill yourself before you kill others.
An American Werewolf in London is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And
of its time, one of those movies that's of its time, right?
It's of its time, but there is. So I'm a big fan of Nicholas Roeg films, and An American Werewolf in London has that kind of feel to it. There's a desolation and it's a loneliness.
It has a kind of a French feel to it, right?
Like, yeah, it's very European.
Yeah,
even though he's in London, so you say it's very British.
Yeah, but it's kind of not really.
It's airy, you know, like there's a loneliness when Jack is in the apartment, when the nurse has gone to work and he's killing time and he's, you know, flipping through a book and he's going crazy and they're playing Bad Moon Rising. Like, that's one of the greatest scenes ever.
Right.
So and they made a sequel, An American Werewolf in Paris.
Yep.
Which was garbage.
That's it. My friends were right. You're nuts. Nurses with walking corpses, stealing hearts. And monsters and werewolves in the basement and the whole thing with the thing and the thing.
So why do they think they're going to be able to, we're going to try it again. You know, you throw enough shit at the wall, some of it's going to stick.
Yeah. Like you said, there's a tone that they will never replicate that.
No,
right. They wouldn't dare. Like I said, what's that going to cost to make? Probably $150 million at least. Right.
Yeah.
And there's a desolate tone. They won't ever do that. Nobody would touch that with a 10-foot pole. Right.
No, it's going to star Justin Bieber, you know. But yeah, they're remaking Dirty Dancing.
So I did it for nothing. I hurt my family. You lost your job. Anyway, I did it for nothing.
No, not for nothing, baby. Nobody has ever done anything like that for me before.
You were right, Johnny. You can't win no matter what you do.
Nice.
Another great movie. It's a great movie.
Oh, my God, of its time.
You know, and because it's a period pieces stand up. You can keep watching a period piece.
Right. Like Grease.
Like Grease. They're remaking Drop Dead Fred.
Shit yourself.
God. I
thought you were dead.
Hey, it takes more than a fire truck to stop drop dead Fred.
All they had to do was re-release the original because nobody could find it, I'm sure. I think I have a copy kicking around because I love that movie.
That's great. Rick Mayall.
And back to British shows, right?
Yeah. Like,
why was it great? It wasn't because of Phoebe Cates, wasn't it? Phoebe Cates, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it Phoebe Cates?
It was Phoebe Cates, yeah.
But Rick Mayall, that's his show. That's, like, yeah, you know, exactly. He was so good.
Yeah.
And get this one. Starship Troopers.
Kill them! Kill them all!
Yeah.
Like, my fucking head's gonna explode. You know, these
just make it into Aliens, right? Instead of what it was at the time, which is amazing. Like, all of Verhoeven's films are this amazing satire, and he straight faces it.
Three or four sequels have been made already of Starship Troopers. Every one of them garbage. So why remake the first one? Like, that was so good. It still stands up. There's nothing bad about that movie.
Yeah. That's amazing.
War Games.
Shall we play a game?
Oh.
I think I missed them.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
Wouldn't you prefer a good game of chess?
Later. Let's play global thermonuclear war.
Fine. Yeah, they've been threatening that a lot of times. They made a sequel called The Dead Code, which is dead to me because it's fucking so terrible. God damn.
Here's a deadly one. Time Bandits.
Oh my God, you're killing me, Chad. You're peeling slices of my life away.
Is that
this fucking list?
How do you
Time Bandits?
What are you gonna
fucking do with Time Bandits? What are you gonna do with it?
I don't know.
When I have the map, I will be free. And the world will be different, because I have understanding.
Understanding of what, Master?
Of digital watches. And soon I shall have understanding of video cassette recorders and car telephones. And when I have understanding of them, I shall have understanding of computers. And when I have understanding of computers, I shall be the supreme being. God isn't interested in technology. He knows nothing of the potential of the microchip or the silicon revolution. Look how he spends his time. 43 species of parrots. Nipples for men. Slugs. Slugs? He created slugs. I mean, are we not in the hands of a lunatic?
Like, damn. Well, they'll announce it, and then Peter Dinklage will complain about it, or that they're going to have little people in it. How dare you employ little people in Hollywood?
Now they're all giants. They're all
because that's I'm not speaking about remakes. I'm talking about Snow White. They're going to reduce Snow White, and Peter Dinklage was complaining about it. And some other a little person actor was like, "Shut the fuck up! Hire me, Disney. I am available. Hire me to be a little person in this movie."
Dinklage was that, but if in all fairness, he was upset because he didn't know how he was going to be seven characters in one film. You know, here's another one. Are you sitting down?
Oh my God.
The Birds.
Were the kids bothering the birds or something? Because if you make any kind of a disturbance near them, they just come after you.
Al, the children were playing a game. Those gulls attacked.
Now, Lydia, attack's a pretty strong word, don't you think? I mean, birds just don't go around attacking people without no reason. You know what I mean? Kids probably scared them, that's all.
These birds attacked.
Is it a shot for shot, you know, fucking just reshooting of it like Psycho?
Yeah, maybe, you know, except now they're flying lizards. I don't know. It's just
like Jurassic Park meets Alfred Hitchcock.
Exactly.
Nice.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Come on, come on.
You talking to me, Mark, or something out there?
Both, David. They won't believe it back home. None of them. I wouldn't have believed it myself. Sitting out here waiting for some monster to appear. That's why we've got to take him.
Why won't they believe, Mark?
Because we deal with known quantities, with knowledge we've accumulated up to now.
We've just begun to learn about the water and its secrets. Just as we've only touched on outer space. We don't entirely rule out the possibility that there might be some form of life on another planet. Then why not some entirely different form of life in a world we already know is inhabited by millions of living creatures? We must have the proof.
There's no way to make it modern and not stupid.
Yeah, that's right. That typifies all of this. There's no way to make it modern and not stupid.
Here's another one that is going to just make me fucking scream. Escape from New York.
You going to kill me now, Snake?
I'm too tired. Maybe later.
I've got another deal for you. I want you to think it over while you're resting. I want to give you a job. We'd make one hell of a team, Snake.
The name's Plissken.
Escape from New York is coming back, and it's like, again, one of the best. Kurt Russell at his very coolest, Snake Plissken. But yeah, Escape from New York was great. And then what did they do? Hey, let's try it again. And they made Escape from L.A., which was garbage.
I was wondering what kind of lame switch you'd try to pull this time, Plissken. You know, you're becoming very predictable.
Yeah, I guess so. You gotta smoke.
The United States is the no-smoking nation. No smoking, no drinking, no drugs, no women. Unless, of course, you're married. No guns, no foul language, no red meat.
Land of the free.
Yep.
So now they're going to revisit the first movie again. You know?
Oh, my God.
Okay, this one's going to kill you. It's really going to kill you. Heavy Metal. Heavy Metal. Mm. They're going to remake Heavy Metal. It's not going to be animated by Pixar. It's going to have voices of, I don't know, Ricky Gervais.
Pixar Heavy Metal. It's a nightmare scenario.
Do not try to escape. You are in my control. Look at me. I am the sum of all evils. Look carefully. My power infests all times, all galaxies, all dimensions. But many still seek me out. A green jewel they must possess.
God damn.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Why? You know, it's a cartoon that, again, is very of its time. Yeah. There are breasts in it all the way through.
And like, is Heavy Metal, the magazine, still on the magazine rack where you can get it? No.
No. Probably.
The time of, like, erotica art being sold mainstream is, like, but it was on the way out the door.
Well, young boys don't need things that are kind of like pornography to look at when they can see real pornography.
Right. Everywhere on the internet. That's right.
Also coming is Highlander, another... one of my favorites. The first movie was great. And again, they made a sequel and it was garbage. So
I think they've done about 12 Highlanders, haven't they?
Yeah. Highlanders, the fast food years.
Highlander, Electric Boogaloo.
I have something to say. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Little Shop of Horrors.
I don't want to hear this. Does it have to be human?
Eat me.
Does it have to be mine?
Feed me.
Where am I supposed to get it?
Feed me, Seymour.
That was made twice already. And the second one by Frank Oz. Now, there's two versions because Frank Oz, there's a director's cut and there's a regular release. Right. And I saw it in the theater and I love that movie. But then I bought the a copy. Not real. I just thought director's cut didn't mean anything. I just thought, you know, that usually means extended scenes or whatever.
Right.
When my kids were young, we watched it and we loved it until the end. The end is a tragedy. The director's cut has a tragic ending where the plants do take over the world.
Right.
Anyway, they don't need to remake that. Videodrome.
What Canadian the fuck? Content.
Yeah, Videodrome. A remake of David Cronenberg's 1983 horror thriller about a TV channel executive whose new show, with its graphic depiction of torture and murder, attracts huge ratings.
Which will not be in the remake.
Yeah, well, that's it won't be.
Death to Videodrome. Long live the new flesh.
Death to Videodrome. Long live the new flesh.
Weird Science.
great.
Now, I just rewatched Weird Science. I liked it a lot as a kid. It was fun to watch it. It kind of stands up as a comedy. It's really inappropriate by today's standards.
Right. I'm
surprised that Netflix even airs it.
I think it's time to go. You ready?
Where do you think you're going?
To a movie. Party. Movie party is what it is, folks. We're going to a movie party.
It's such a little liar. No, I've whipped up this nasty little soiree over at his friend Wyatt's house.
Soiree what?
Soiree, honey. I think that means party. Party. You know, there's going to be sex, drugs, rock and roll, chips, dips, chains, whips. You know, your basic high school orgy type of thing. I mean, I'm not talking candle wax on the nipples or witchcraft or anything like that. No, 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 no. Just a couple of hundred kids running around in their underwear, acting like complete animals.
All right, God damn it! I've heard enough!
This one here is interesting. Gremlins 3.
The thing I think what's going on here is what they're doing is they're looking at classic, you know, not even classic movies like 80s, like look at Gremlins, right? And they say, nowadays we have CGI technology, so we can do such a much better version of the gremlins. They can dance around and they can move around and they don't look like puppets. So we can do that. And tick any of these movies you're saying that like Little Shop of Horrors, right? You had a, you know, just a prosthetic Audrey, right?
Yeah.
So we can do it in CGI and her tentacles can go everywhere. And she pulls herself out of the pot and she's moving around. We can do so much more with CGI. They don't understand it's the story, right? If you just gussy up the CGI and then have some stupid lame story, it's not an improvement. You know, you're not making anything new, really.
Well, especially since the argument saying let's get away from puppets. Look at the Star Wars franchise, right? Yoda was a puppet and he was great. And then when Yoda became a CGI character, he was terrible. Then they brought him back as a puppet and he was great again.
That's right.
Because a puppet, even though it's a puppet, it's still real. It's a real thing.
Yep.
They're going to remake All of Me, Steve Martin, Lily Tomlin film, which is another great, but I can see that being remade with the idea. It's just, it's kind of a stupid idea.
Yeah. You know? But you won't have Steve Martin and you won't have Lily Tomlin.
And you won't have an Indian guy going back and bowl. You know? Because that just won't fly.
Can you put Edwina back in the bowl?
Back and bowl.
Yes, back and bowl.
He's back and bowl.
Neem. Neem, what do you mean? Oh, you have to fix the ball.
Fix ball?
Fix ball.
Fix ball.
Fix ball.
Fix ball.
You put Edwina back in ball.
Back in ball.
Edwina
back in ball.
Go fix ball.
Go fix ball.
Go.
Go. Go. Go. Go.
Police Academy? How about that?
Oh, my God.
Like,
why? 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 All I say is why.
It's now a drama. And
oh, yeah. Police Academy.
It claims to be the eighth installment. So maybe it's just, yeah, they're all going to just be.
Who the hell is going to be in it? Paul Rudd?
No. Well, what's his
today,
name?
Steve Guttenberg.
Steve Guttenberg's still around.
Yeah. Now he's he'd be the guy. Yeah. He'd be the dean of the academy, right?
Who, but now in the modern age, he's not getting a blowjob and behind the podium. Right.
Mahoney. Already told you once. Nobody screws with me.
Well, maybe you'll meet the right girl and all that'll change.
Get out of here now!
Nightmare on Elm Street, they remade that one a few years ago, and that was, it had nothing. It was like so empty. It was it was very
like the thing is, what can you do? Are you, unless you're doing like we talk about Psycho, a shot for shot remake for whatever reason itself doesn't make any sense. But if you're going to like remake Nightmare on Elm Street, what are you going to do? You can't do the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're going to do something else and it's never going to be as good. Like very little do they do something better, right? Some really big brain figures out, you know, like how can we tell the story in a different way that's as good? And it's just that is a formula that is very tenuous.
Well, they, you know, it's like the Stones sang the song. It's the singer, not the song, you know? And
right. Yep.
When it comes to Elm Street, it's the singer, not the song. It doesn't really fucking matter what they do if they don't have Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Because he is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, that's what is that actor?
Never get any other work.
Yeah, what is that actor going to do? Who's going to be Freddy? What can he do?
Like, he impersonates Robert Englund.
He's just going to be. Yeah, he either impersonates Robert Englund, a wisecracking guy who won't be as good, or it'll just be a straight stone cold killer who hardly says anything, and that's not Nightmare on Elm Street.
You shouldn't have buried me. I'm not dead.
No, and they cast Ron Howard's brother.
Clint Howard?
Clint Howard. I was going to say Curly Howard.
Curly.
Hey, Mo. Hey, Mo.
I'm gonna fuck up your dreams.
She turns around and he goes...
He's like, 1, 2, quink.
Maybe make it in 3D.
That's right. They're remaking Big Trouble in Little China. So I guess that's they're trying
that's to. That's it. You broke the chat.
You know?
What the hell? Oh my God. Big Trouble in Little China. Like, it's a comedy that works brilliantly and it's a brilliant action film. It's a brilliant Kurt Russell film. It's a little Fabergé egg, intricately made that you move one part, it just all falls apart. They're going to fucking replicate that.
It's hokey. And like, when things are a bit hokey, there's nothing you can't replicate.
It's camp, right? Camp works. It's amazing. But to replicate camp and not look stupid, that is a fine line, Chad. That is the finest of lines.
Yeah, Troma Pictures, they can keep replicating camp because they live and breathe it. They don't know what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
And so, but you know that's not, it's going to be like a fucking Ron Howard directs, you know, it's Ron Howard, God. Big Trouble in Little China.
Wacky Ron Howard. Oh my God, Chad. Oh, you're shaving years off my life.
Okay, you people sit tight, hold the fort and keep the home fires burning. And if we're not back by dawn, call the president.
Memento.
Well, remake that.
Memory's unreliable.
Oh, please.
No, really. Memory's not perfect. It's not even that good. Ask the police. Eyewitness testimony is unreliable. The cops don't catch a killer by sitting around remembering stuff.
Right.
They collect facts.
That's not what I'm saying.
They make notes and they draw conclusions. Facts, not memories. That's how you investigate. I know. It's what I used to do. Look, memory can change the shape of a room. It can change the color of a car. And memories can be distorted. They're just an interpretation. They're not a record. And they're irrelevant if you have the facts.
Now they're going to make it. It'll just be a linear story.
Yeah. It'll start from the beginning and just go to the end.
It's going
to
be a guy who wakes up one day, has a day, and then kills somebody at the end.
Hey.
Sometimes the remakes, like I watched the Murder on the Orient Express.
Right.
Did I watch that? Yeah.
What do you think of that? Daisy Ridley.
Yeah. It was a really mediocre movie.
Kenneth Branagh was Hercule Poirot.
That's right.
So
he's also playing Poirot in.
Well, they did Murder on the Nile, isn't that someone?
That's the one that just came out. So Branagh is playing him again.
Okay.
It was okay, but it's funny. You watch Knives Out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's way better. Let's not get hung up on just.
Yeah, let's make something new, right? And when you make something new, you've got more energy. You've got way more interest. You can put your own stamp on what you're doing. You're not having to be beholden to Agatha Christie or the Agatha Christie estate. You can do what you want to do and do it in the homage, of course, and everyone will see the homage, right? But you're doing your own thing, and then you've got Knives Out, which is a classic. But anyway, that'll wrap it up for our remakes and reboots. List of terrible cinematic travesties that are going to be visited upon the unsuspecting movie public.
That's right. It's kind of like this podcast. Re-envisioning.
Yeah, exactly. You know? What are we complaining about remakes for? We're remaking Nerd Stocking. So, Chad, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, anything.
You ever noticed that Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons has a lot of back?
I don't know if I ever, I'm sure I noticed it.
She's got a lot of junk in the trunk.
Yeah, well, maybe that's where her processor is.
My other question is, how does she move around on those little roller skates? Like, it looks like one set of skates on the bottom of her. How does she balance all that junk?
Well, that's the thing, is the gyros. She does a lot of gyrating with the gyros.
Right. Gyros. That's a good answer.
And I love you people too.
So anyway, that's what we're talking about, our robots and
I thought it was asses. We're not talking about asses.
We could do that. We'll save the asses show for another one. But today we're talking about robots and the future that was promised to us.
No, we've been ripped off. It's all a sham, a lie. The year 2000 was nothing. Look, we're 22 years past the year 2000. We still don't have flying cars. We've got some drone-like things. We didn't get jetpacks. We didn't get lightsabers. We didn't get land speeders.
Yeah.
The world is a lie.
Well, you know what's, in my opinion, what's causing that problem, why we don't have laser guns and robots that were promised is batteries. It's a portable power source that's very powerful is what we really need. In Star Trek, you know, the answer to everything in Star Trek, why they have spaceships and ray guns and all that stuff is because the dilithium crystals, right? That's their answer to power. It's just a magical thing that can be put into everything.
I can't change the laws of physics.
Kind of like in Star Wars with the kyber crystals are what power the lightsabers, right? It's just a mysterious power source.
That's what we need, right? We had H.G. Wells in First Men on the Moon. Mm-hmm. You know, his answer was a new metal that reacted to the Earth and repelled it like a magnet.
Right.
Right. But again, it's like in order to have these fantastic things, we have to pretend and make other stuff up. We can talk about the dilithium crystals in Star Trek because they obsess about it. But Star Trek is science fiction, right? Everybody else is that fantasy world where droids just work. You know, even though on like R2's head and R5-D4 like that, those biotech droids, is that?
They're astromechs.
Astromech droids. Yeah. They look like little solar panels. And we know that R2 recharges.
Yep.
Right. There has to be some sort of charging device. But, you know, when I think of like, say, Robbie the robot, who has like this big glass dome, is there like a solar effect in there? I guess somebody along the way said, you know, Robbie is like the perfect name for a robot because it's Rob.
Well, okay. Pretty much you want to, even when I've gone through a couple of different robotic vacuums here. None of them have ever really worked, but we always got to name them, right? And you can't name them Robbie, but you know, like the Samsung one we had, we call him Sammy, right? Like you tend to personify these things. So when the first person, you know, a robot is being used by a military crew, kind of like it is in Forbidden Planet, then of course everyone's going to name the robot.
Yeah.
And you're going to name him Robbie the robot.
This is no offense, but you are a robot, aren't you?
That is correct, sir. For your convenience, I am monitored to respond to the name Robbie.
Nice climate you have here. High oxygen content.
I rarely use it myself, sir. It promotes rust.
And here we are in 2022, and I think Honda, is it Honda? I think it's Honda. They made they got a somersault robot who climbs and jumps and, you know, flips in the air and always lands on his feet, mostly.
Yeah.
But does what?
I researched that, found that Asimo, I think that's what it's called. And they discontinued that, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're still not building them. Maybe there was an accident at the Honda facility that nobody wants to talk about.
79 people were strangled and bludgeoned by a robot arm. Exactly. But they can't seem to find the robot arm.
What really interested me in the original Star Wars was in A New Hope was they kind of built a world with droids in it because you saw C-3PO and R2-D2, and then there were sort of different models of those two, right? Like you mentioned, what is it, R3-D4, like the red one that kind of
R5-D4,
it's neat when I watch Star Wars, they kind of make a thing like maybe the whole film's going to be C-3PO with this red droid, right? That just kind of self-destructs while it's rolling off the line. Right. And then they're like, C-3PO convinces them to pick up R2-D2. But it's kind of neat that there's different models of the same thing. And you see a few different versions of C-3PO, like there's a silver one and there's the stupid one that I guess he was C-3PO that Anakin Skywalker built, apparently. And the trashy Phantom Menace.
There's my favorite, that triple zero.
It's a menace to movies.
000 from the Star Wars comic.
Oh yeah, those are the murderous ones, right? The
murder droids. Love them.
That are the same thing, only they're killing people.
Exactly, and they're all like, "Oh, very matter of fact, I'm going to now stick razor blades under your fingernails." Come along.
Yeah, those are great.
They were great. I think that, you know, you have C-3PO is he's what the robot. He's really the robot everybody wants. Nobody really wants an R2-D2.
Right. Well, R2-D2 is a robot we would get.
Yeah. Well, but
C-3PO is the dream, right? It's
called the Rumba, right?
Exactly. With a cat on it. Exactly. There's no scene where a cat was riding R2-D2. There really should have been. If Lucas is really as prescient as he likes to believe.
But what was his name? The Sasso?
Yeah, Sallow, I think.
Sallow. So yeah, it's funny
Sirens
because
of Titan.
C-3PO is really, he's kind of like, he's the remake of Ultron. And Ultron and C-3PO are both the sort of the babies of Sasso.
Sasso. From Mad TV.
Will Sasso went back in time and had two robot babies. One was bad. One was good. Neither was.
Sounds like a comedy sketch.
But, you know, I think that Sallow is really, he is exactly C-3PO.
Yeah, he's very calm and, you know, very
emotional.
Yeah. Trying to suck up to Rumsfeld or whatever his name was.
Yeah, and he gets his feelings are hurt, and he's like tries to like make it up to him, which is very C-3PO. Yeah. Like,
he had these interesting feet, Sallow, that would go up into little hard little balls, and he'd run across it. And then if he had to go across water, he'd inflate them.
Yeah, he's kind of like the maid there from Jetsons.
Exactly. Yeah, these little. Yeah, it must have been gyros helping him out.
Ultron is kind of, he's built very much like that as well. Like if C-3PO and Ultron, even though they're very different, are ultimately the sort of, they were born out of Sallow. Sallow is like, I guess that's early 60s. Prior to him, you have like one of the great robots from the day the Earth stood still.
Gort.
Gort.
Yeah.
And he's, again, that very sort of man-shaped laser beam from the eye kind of guy.
It seems to me like Gort is probably a scary version of the Tin Man, right? It's just like metal. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, like square metal.
So they could have just, in Washington, they would have really should have just hoped it would rain. And then rust all been over.
Yeah. Rusty.
Gort would be like, oil can.
Instead of Barada Nikto, it'd be like, oil can. Oil me.
What was that robot from Metropolis?
Maria. Definitely gave the visual appearance to C-3PO because just totally see it.
And not to mention, what's her name from Spaceballs?
Oh, yeah. That's guy. Hey, that's hilarious. That's that's Rosie the robot in real life. So I'm just sharing. I'm just putting them side by side. You can definitely see the visual cues that
look
Lucas
at the legs,
took.
Legs and arms.
Yeah, totally. And even C-3PO kind of has a thing, the disc in his sort of abdomen.
Yeah. And I like in the seam, the head seam, right? Like she has the detail down the nose, but the way that you can see that the front and back are just screwed together. They're bolted together.
Ah, right.
Same thing on both.
Yeah.
Even the arms are very much.
The shoulders too, right?
The funny thing about the droids in Star Wars is that, you know, you have this cross section where sometimes they make perfect sense, you know, like with C-3PO, he's human-like. So if he is human cyborg relations.
Yeah, he's protocol droid.
Right. So that's fine. Humans are going to want him to look human so that although he looks human, he doesn't look like Wookiee. Right.
Right. He's a bipedal, I guess, humanoid.
It's our arrogance again. He's got to be a human guy. But, and then, you know, R2-D2
is just an astromech that just attaches to the side of spaceship. So he's a tin can, right? With magnetic wheels or whatever.
He's a hard drive, you know, and you have like all these different robots do different things, like that great robot from Rogue One, the tall,
oh my God.
Tall one.
Great. That was a great robot. I can't even remember what his designation is, but, that's one of my favorite scenes in that film, which is a great film, is they're all looking for the girl who's gone looking for her father or whatever, and the guy has a knapsack and he gives it to that robot, gives it to the droid and goes, okay, take this and go back to the ship. And the robot just takes a look at it and just goes, meh. Drops it onto the ground. Doesn't give a shit.
Jin, I'll be there for you. Cassian said I had to.
You know, and that terrible robot in Solo.
That's right.
Right. It's like, it's like
got the the butt sticking up in the air. That's had legs that were attached to the side and it just went.
Yeah. What was she designed for, apparently?
And then you have childbearing. I guess she had childbearing hips.
And no, then, but wasn't Lando having a thing with
Lando her? Just broke down and wept on the battlefield when his droid gets mangled. Come on, get it together, Lando. Well,
Five Nights in Freddy, like, yeah.
Totally. That's Five Nights at Freddy is just making fun of, or just taking a cue from, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever. They have the robots.
Well, Jungle Cruise, right? So I just watched Jungle Cruise with The Rock.
Yep.
And Emily Blunt. And, you know, that's based on a ride at Disney World that were all animatronics.
Right. All and the elephants.
The story's all bullshit.
Putting the trunk up and going, spraying water on people.
In the Amazon. Because that's where the elephants and the hippos are. Right.
Yeah. And they not can being say eaten that, alive by piranha in they like say 2 seconds.
Oh my god! In the movie, like, but hippopotamus aren't native to this. To the Amazon.
Do they say shh, shh, shh?
Yeah, but it's funny because you know it's true that there's no hippos in the Amazon, but at the same time, from what I understand, drug lords have have their menageries, including hippos,
right?
And then they were, you know, I don't want to take care of this. And they released them into the wild. And apparently down in the rainforest and on the Amazon, there are now huge populations of hippopotamus.
That's hilarious. And, yeah. That's like in New York where they, you bring back a little alligators. You're going to keep in like a terrarium. And then the alligator gets to be like 5 feet long. You're like, shit, or whatever. It gets to be too big. Can't be 5 feet, but you flush it down the toilet. And then there's like movie where he's going after alligators in the sewers of New York.
That's right. Giant albino alligators, bloodthirsty. Yeah.
Just itself a cue on Jaws. And of course, Jaws had the famous robotic shark that, because it malfunctioned so much during the shoot, Spielberg had to scrap all the stuff he wanted to do in the script. And he just had to do it all without the shark just menacing in the water. And it's 10 times better that way. Right.
Right.
Thank God that shark malfunctioned.
That's right. And Lucas walked away from that going, you know, I really would have liked to have known what Jaws would have been like.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
he redo it and the shark's jumping out at you. Like,
it's called Sharknado. Nobody knows, but really George Lucas is behind Sharknado.
I always think of Johnny Five when I think of robots too, from the classic 80s movie Short Circuit.
Well, he's one of the nicer robots.
It's both Johnny Five and then Fisher Stevens and Brownface. Those are the two things that stand out to people when they think about Short Circuit.
Not being him, it is only being wires and servo mechanisms and other such machine type apparatus for the beat of sake. This set of beacons.
And then you have to say that Short Circuit is sort of a precursor to the movie Iron Giant, came out in 1999, about a robot that is lovable and befriended by a little kid, but is actually kind of a lethal military weapon.
When I think of Iron Giant, and unfortunately now it just brings me to Ready Player One. And
with Iron Giant, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was like, right. So these are skins, but the Iron Giant is like 50 feet tall and he has no extra powers. Why'd you have to bring up Ready Player One?
You really should see Iron Giant because it's a really great film.
Well, I like Harry Connick.
Yeah. It's directed by Brad Bird, who, of course, did The Incredibles and was on The Simpsons when it started out.
Did you ever see, it was called Nine?
No, I haven't seen that.
It was this weird post-apocalyptic film. And this, it was about the inventor of these little robots somehow imbued in them like life. And they have little fabric bodies, like almost like a rag doll.
Yep.
And, and they go through this strange little adventure trying to understand existence and their existence. It's a brilliant Pinocchio story.
All right. Well, you're mentioning Pinocchio. That makes me think of Data, the android from TNG. And that's really what his whole arc was through that show, was he's trying to be human, trying to become human.
Isn't this also our failure, though, as the imaginers of robots? Because we always have to put ourselves in them. You know, they're always imperfect and they want to be us.
I think it was Q that told Data that, you know, you can aim so much higher than becoming human.
Yeah, there you go. That's accurate.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
I was considering the possibility that you were telling the truth, that you really are human.
It's the ghastly truth, Mr. Data. I can now stub my toe with the best of them.
An irony. It means that you've achieved in disgrace what I have always aspired to be.
So I was under the impression that Data was a little bit older. And he also, you know, he aged a lot in the years.
He did, yeah.
Exactly.
He's got crazy. He's got crow's feet at the end, year 7 in TNG. And then they did the movies and just kept getting fatter and worser. But
that robot.
In Picard, it's funny. It's not with the Data, but Q shows up in second season of Picard, and he shows up, and I guess they youngify him. You know how they do? They put the cameras on him and they film him, and then they erase all the crow's feet and stuff, and he looks like a Q of TNG. And he goes, "Oh, you've grown so old, Picard. Here, let me catch up." And he snaps his fingers, and he's old John DeLancey, right? And it's a great way of explaining it. Right, of how, why Q the immortal would look old. He's like just trying to make Picard feel better.
They always want things to go haywire because humans don't want to admit that if we made robots that were actually functioning and operated through with AI, they might ultimately become better than us.
Right.
You know, like the Twilight Zone episode with the robot baseball player.
Yeah, you know, that's a classic.
He was a great baseball, best baseball player ever.
But then they give him a heart. They have to give him a heart because you need like 9 men, they say in that episode, right? You need 9 men and he's not a man. He doesn't have a heart. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a funny line. Jack Warden is the coach in that episode and he is great. Jack Warden, I love him as an actor. And he's like, they say, "Oh, he can't play baseball. He doesn't have a heart." And Jack Warden as a coach goes, he points at the manager or the owner of the team. He goes, he owns half the team and he doesn't have a heart. So it's kind of funny, but and then they give him a heart so he can keep playing. And then he'd get sad because he doesn't want to strike people out. Like, they're going to feel sad when he strikes them out. So he just stops being able to do it. And that's the end of his career as a baseball player.
But there is no joy in Mudville. My TKC has struck out.
When you talk about, you know, what practical robots do we have now? And the really only thing you can point to that's becoming sort of mainstream is the Tesla auto-driving car, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're stuck with. We're supposed to be flying through the air like in The Fifth Element, and that really terrific scene from where they're on Coruscant in Star Wars. Actually, I was looking at stats, and it turns out, like right now, there's 60,000 Teslas that are certified with this full self-driving mode. They call it FSD. Out of 60,000 Teslas registered for that, there's only been 12 deaths. But I think that's a pretty good number. If you took 60,000 humans, did a sample, and then saw how many accidents or even deaths were caused by them, there'd be way more than 12 in like the years. Like, it's been about this 5 week. Years, I think.
Exactly. Drive in Toronto today.
In Toronto. Like
worst drivers in the world.
What's funny, speaking about Toronto, is the Tesla cars, they're geofenced not to operate in full self-driving mode in downtown Toronto because I guess our streetcars screw them up, which is crazy because the streetcars flash lights when they're going to open the doors. They stop and the lights flash. You know, you can't recognize that Tesla's.
They can't. The new software says that they can't even recognize stop signs. You know, so I think that
is a problem.
There might be some problems with the Tesla.
Can't recognize green from red. That's should we really should be selling these? Sure, go ahead.
Really, we just want Ex Machina. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what all robots should be.
That was a great, great movie. And what's funny about that is Ex Machina had a budget of only $15 million.
Wow.
And it won the best visual effects Oscar in 2014. Beat them all. It beat freaking Star Wars The Force Awakens, which you have to say is a terrible film, but had amazing effects.
Yeah.
But the effects in Ex Machina were just so like pinpoint. Like she was, they did an amazing job on her. Alicia Vikander. She's from Sweden, you know.
I heard she was from Sweden. Machina. Yeah, so robots, they really got a bum steer. We should have cool robots. We don't have cool robots. We've got driving cars and we've got vacuum cleaners and we have a whole house that listens to us even when it's not supposed to.
Right. We're much farther in development with AI than we are with robotics, just I guess because that's just the physicality of it. It's easier to program software than it is to make hardware that can actually walk around.
Yeah, well, it's because we're pretty amazing creatures, you know, like we basically walk upright and forward by falling.
Yeah, so exactly.
Every step is a fall.
It's an arrested fall, right?
And so we fall and we recover. We fall and we recover. Yeah. And suddenly we're like, you know, we've got 9-second, 100-meter dashes and things like that. We do amazing things. Yeah. So it's hard to replicate us.
Well, you were talking about gyros, and we've got that licked, right? Using gyros like on a Segway or, you know, those little wheels you'll see people run around in the city, just a unicycle that you stand on. You know, it can keep itself upright. So at least they've got the ability to keep these robots upright. But anyway, Chad, I think I'm going to compute that just about puts the last bolt in our show about robots of the future.
No good, I can't maneuver.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
All right, Chad. Oh, I'm going to show you a video here. A guy, he's really cracked the code for how visionary George Lucas is and Seth MacFarlane as well. Two great far-seeing people in media today. All right, check out this video.
A long time ago, when George Lucas had owned the rights to Star Wars, he had given Seth MacFarlane his permission to do the Family Guy Star Wars parodies. And what can I say about them? They're absolutely hilarious. But something I noticed when rewatching the first one, Blue Harvest, was during the conversation between Darth Vader and one of his Imperial officers when talking about the Death Star.
Okay, wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask what's the point of one.
Well, I mean, there's this little hole. It was kind of an aesthetic choice by the architect. And if you shoot a laser into this hole, the station blows up.
An aesthetic choice by the architect. Now, watching this in the 2000s or even in the early 2010s between 2010 and 2015, it was just a nice harmless joke. No big deal, right? But if you rewatch this in the 2020s, this aligns perfectly with Rogue One and the Death Star architect Galen Erso, who intentionally placed the infamous weakness in the Death Star.
Let me get this straight from this guy, right? So they use the term architect, meaning someone who builds something, in the Seth MacFarlane's Star Wars parodies. And then there actually was an architect who built something in Rogue One. Isn't that fucking amazing?
Wow. They didn't
My head explodes like the Death Star that was it's made prophecy. By somebody, and we call people who make things architects.
And so is Seth MacFarlane being called a prophet?
Yeah, like he's a prophet.
A seer?
He was a seer to know that people describe things being built by architects.
But hold on. But Seth MacFarlane, like the rest of us, saw Star Wars. And if you really think about it, you're like, really? There's a little hole that he's going to shoot a thing in, like he killed Womp Swamp Rats or something like that?
Yep.
And that's going to destroy the entire Death Star. Anybody could have noticed that. That's ridiculous. Yeah, right?
That's not the part, you know, that's not the amazing part. All of us said that. You watch in 77, the first time you ever watched Star Wars, if someone commented, why do they have that hole there that you can, when if you shoot something down it and the whole station explodes? The thing is, Seth MacFarlane, he was so prescient. He used the word architect.
Yeah.
And then when they made Rogue One, they described the guy who made the Death Star. They called him an architect. Isn't that amazing? Connect the two. Well, the two dots are fucking connected, Chad.
J.J. Abrams.
Spielberg. And
in one of the Millennium Falcon, and I think it's the Millennium Falcon shots, you see his little bad robot guy is in his the ship.
Logo or the company.
She's taking a little piss, you know, look, nice. A little, having a little laugh. Nice. I just saw that in a hieroglyph in Raiders of the Lost Ark. You see C-3PO and R2-D2 as hieroglyphs.
None of those little cameos as amazing as describing somebody who built something as an architect. Get it? Architect?
Wow.
That's the name of fucking people that build things.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy who did that?
Yeah. His name. Oh, yeah. Barry is H3. Oh, Barry is here, I guess.
Barry is here.
Barry. Only the E's are threes. 13 million views, Chad.
Yeah.
Barry got 13 million views. So many people, their minds were blown by this revelation. This guy has a good comment on the YouTube section on that video. It's like, plot twist. The Rogue One writer stole the whole concept from Family Guy. So it's like, it's putting everything in reverse, that because Seth MacFarlane said that it was an architect, they came up with the idea of an architect in Rogue One, which is dumb.
Well,
the whole thing is about them stealing the plans. Who draws up plans for something, Chad? The fucking architect.
Thanks for listening to the Slow Burn Podcast by Hunterwick. Please rate and follow the podcast wherever you listen to it. And you can donate to us through a link in the description. Keep it burning.